Indeed, Digital Dave.
And I'm still Fast Eddie.
That's debatable, the fast part.
Well, you know, if you...
There's another word that would go in front of that very well,
if
half.
If you would keep me off the floor of the camper in
yes,
the storms.
Yes, we sheltered in place last night,
we
as
did.
They say. Anyway, we are joined by the crew from BlackFi. Why don't you guys introduce yourselves, because I don't know you.
Good morning. It's Marcus Ling, CEO of Opener, and...
I'm Greg. I'm head of software engineering.
I'm Gina, and I'm operations engineer.
Cool. Now, you guys have a very radical-looking aircraft. The one thing I always... I love the round bottom, but I always wonder, does it do this? You know, does it rock back and forth when you land, or are there feet to stabilize it?
It's actually quite interesting. It just basically lands and on the keel, and then it pivots to one or the other side of the winglets. So it's actually supported at two points.
Okay. What's the concept behind the BlackFi? What's the intended mission? There's the term.
BlackFi is an ultralight aircraft, which basically means that pretty well everybody at the air show is legal to operate it with or without a pilot's license. And it's designed as a recreational sport vehicle. And... it allows people to experience vertical takeoff and cruise flight from basically where you are to where you want to go.
Okay, so everybody here is eligible, huh?
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure they'd love to let me try.
No, they definitely would. Not after putting me on the floor last night.
There you go.
I spent an hour there yesterday talking to various people, and I'm impressed with the design. But the one thing I noticed is that is an option for a BRS shoot. You people have a lot of faith in your propulsion system here. I know you're triple redundant, but, you know, in the aviation business, we all know stuff happens. This doesn't worry you?
The ballistic parachute is the warm and fuzzy that everybody wants to have.
Well, yeah, because if you have a catastrophic failure, I'm not saying you're going
Wait a minute. He said warm and fuzzy that everybody wants to have.
Yeah.
Meaning he believes it is unnecessary because he's got enough redundancies built into the systems.
Oh, you would go there, wouldn't you?
Darn right I would.
Well, you know, it's always good to have a last resort, you know, the absolute last ditch effort to save your butt, because I don't really know at the altitudes that you're flying this thing at that a regular backpack style parachute would be a good thing to have.
We actually use an airbag inflator, and we fire the ballistic parachute out about 40 feet into the air. It happens very, very quickly, and the two most recent tests we did were either 10 feet or 60 feet full inflation.
So wow. You actually got an airbag cushion under the machine.
It's actually an inflator, and,
right.
And what it does is it fires the whole ballistic parachute and drogue chute and everything
okay. As
a unit up, and then the aircraft comes down under parachute.
Well, now you're building this whole thing in-house. There's a picture over at your booth of like 250 wings. The electronics and the motors and everything about it, they're all done in-house too, aren't they?
That's correct, yeah.
Where do you guys come up with the design for this stuff? I mean,
they've got a vending machine over there. You pop a quarter in and new design comes out.
There you go. It's either that or they have three very deranged people in a dark room.
That's exactly it. They throw raw meat in once a week.
Large quantities of alcohol, you know. And, hey, we got a thing. But I noticed I was talking to a bunch of people in there. I was talking to Tim yesterday, and he was saying that all of the stuff that you guys have on this with regards to the propulsion systems is proprietary. It's not off-the-shelf stuff. You guys design and build this in your facility.
The reason we do that is because our propulsion systems are the most powerful in the world for their size. And we control the technology, and we can control the quality of the product. And that is, as everybody can appreciate, extremely important when you're building electric aircraft.
Do you foresee this as a fun fly vehicle or a work commuter vehicle?
It's an ultralight. It can only be a fun fly vehicle. But I think we can all see the potential for these type of vehicles for many other tasks.
Okay. I'd love to take it and fly it to work.
Well, they have a simulator there, but they were smart in not letting me fly it because I crash things.
Anyone can fly this. Anyone can fly this. It's really easy.
You've never seen me fly.
So I'm assuming that all of you have had a turn?
On the simulator, absolutely. The actual aircraft, we're training people up in groups, but there will be opportunities.
Nice.
Sounds like fun to me. Where do I sign up?
Yeah.
Why don't you come by this morning and do the same flights that we basically did on Tuesday at the air show?
There you go.
That's right. You guys did fly one out here on Tuesday. I'm sorry I missed that.
7-year-old kids, it takes about 5 minutes for them to learn to fly. But if you've got a pilot's license and experience, it takes about 8 or 9 because we have to unlearn a few things.
Yeah, I was going to say, adults longer. Yeah.
Well, you know, now that's another question. Okay, I've flown fixed wing and helicopter, both model and full size, and the transition between all of that's pretty simple stuff. And then I transferred to drones, and I found out that they were just a total breeze to fly, very easy compared to a helicopter. How does your aircraft compare to, say, flying a drone?
It's very, very easy to fly. And the other part about our vehicle is the landings and the takeoffs are all automated. So every operator makes a perfect landing and does perfect takeoffs, especially when people are watching.
Yeah.
Oh, boy, do I need that help.
Yeah, that's actually what it's called, the people watching button.
Yeah, there it is. It has two positions, takeoff and landing.
There you go.
We also have a couple extra buttons in there. One is a return to home button.
Oh, so I like that.
If you're flying, you go like, where did I come from? You just press the return to home button, and it takes you right back.
Careful. I can see someone taking off and saying, man, I'm tired.
Yep, exactly.
Press the button and take a nap.
Well, what actually happened to our show is about halfway through my routine, it was getting pretty hot in there, and I thought, this is about the time to press return to home. And then I can just sit there and relax and let the aircraft come back to its takeoff location.
Oh, I could just see it. You sit there, you push the return to home button, the bar comes out, you get a cold beer.
Yeah, right, a drink. No, my luck, I'd press return to home and the thing would say, updating.
Yeah. You know, I see a very great future for this machine in James Bond movies.
Oh, definitely. It's got to be in there.
You might want to pursue that.
Yes.
Because, you know, just like what they did with the BD-5 jet, all of a sudden, look at this bad boy. It unfolds. Whee! Off you go.
There's also another wonderful feature, and that's for people that fly for the first time, and that's the demo flight. And that was the...
So literally, you just sit back and let it show you what it can do.
Sorry, you have to press the trigger and one of the buttons.
Oh, that's like
the horror. Difficult.
George Jetson is here, man. Now, will this fold into a briefcase? Not quite yet.
We said James Bond, not George Jetson.
Well, we're almost there.
We are.
We're almost there. Future plans besides rollout? I mean, are you considering a two-place? That won't meet one of three requirements, though, will it?
That's the problem.
Yeah.
So we're just focused on the ultralight category right now. And as a personal aerial vehicle, it's for essentially anybody that would like to be able to fly an aircraft, VTOL from their property.
It works for me.
Yeah. I'm in.
Does it have high rates? That's what every modeler wants to know. High rate controls that make it more maneuverable.
You do not roll this. You do not loop this.
Come on.
The aircraft is incredibly flexible when it comes to controls. But the problem is that we test to a very large flight envelope, and then we dramatically restrict that for the general population. And the demonstrations that we did was basically just a small fraction of what the human flight envelope is.
In other words, it has a sticker on it that says, don't try this at home.
Yeah, right.
Listen, people, you know, you need to take that into account because there are a lot of crazy pilots out there.
Yeah, but what he's saying is the machine won't let you.
You can
throw the stick any way you want. It's going to say, nah, I'm not right. going past 10 degrees bank. Sorry.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah. There'll be hackers out there. Oh, you know, if you do this.
So one of the questions that I have is the batteries. Where are you storing the battery packs on this thing?
The batteries are in the wings, so they're distributed. The weight is distributed around the aircraft.
So there's no battery packs in the fuselage at all. The pilot is protected from any battery calamities that may happen.
That's right.
And they're also in isolated pods, so that
each motor has its own pack.
Has actually two. So if there's a problem with one pack, it right away is isolated, and you can still have full performance from the remaining pack.
And you get the red light on the dashboard that says rut-row.
Low fuel.
Yeah.
If you have a problem with one pack, that's usually just a yellow caution, it's not a red.
Okay.
I would say, but it is an indication that you need to land immediately.
Precaution.
You take it, the little check engine light comes on.
Oh, jeez. Check battery light.
Exactly.
What kind of batteries are you using on this thing?
We're using lithium ion batteries.
Lithium ions?
Okay. Not lithium polymer, though.
Lithium polymer.
Okay, they are LiPos. Okay.
Yeah, because, it's a very widely used battery. And, of course, without the proper battery care, they have a tendency to explode.
Yeah, they get excited.
They do. I've seen quite a few model pilots that have abused them, and it doesn't end well.
We've actually been flying lithium polymer now for over 10 years, and we design and build our own battery management system, and we're very conservative on that approach, and we've actually never had a failure of a battery in flight ever.
Good.
We like that.
Okay, real quick, we're out of time. Where can we find more out about the Blackfly?
You can go online to opener.aero, and we have lots of information, but please come by our booth. It's 500?
Booth 500.
Booth 500.
All right.
And fly our sim and experience the same thing that we experienced demonstrating for you guys on
Tuesday.
Okay,
we'll be there. We'll be there.
I'll come back.
All right, this is Digital Dave.
And Fast Eddie.
And this is EAA Radio.